You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
A recent New York Times article did a deep dive into where the shift to electric vehicles is the strongest. And it probably comes as no surprise to KCBS listeners that California, and in particular the Bay Area, is the primary force behind seeing more EVs on the road. Data shows that electric cars, trucks, and SUVs made up almost 40% of new auto registrations in the San Jose area last year and about 34% in San Francisco. But with a ban on new gas-powered vehicle sales in California happening in 2035, how ready is the state for a full-on EV revolution? Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. We'll start our conversation with James Bushnell, professor in the Department of Economics at UC Davis. Before joining UC Davis, he spent 15 years as the research director of the University of California Energy Institute at Berkeley. James, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation on In-Depth.
Happy to be here.
It is 2024 right now, and it could seem to a lot of people that 2035 is far away, but we are moving closer and closer to California's goal to no longer sell gas-powered vehicles, which means electric vehicles and some plug-in hybrids will be the only choice. So from your perspective, what is the state of things when we're talking about electric vehicles in California, and in particular in the Bay Area? Are they still as popular and well thought of compared to when they first hit the scene?
Well, yeah, the market share of electric vehicles is continuing to grow. I think the question is just how far and how quickly they will grow from this level. And the Bay Area has certainly been one of the areas on the leading edge of adoption. There's a lot of reasons why the Bay Area is particularly fertile ground for EV adoption, though. And I think the question when trying to expand this to statewide or national goals is how difficult it will be to expand the EV market share into communities where EVs are not as popular or not as good a fit for either preferences or lifestyle choices.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, obviously that's a big part of the conversation is, you know, why has this taken off here so prominently? Why are electric vehicles kind of the way of the future here in California? And, you know, is there less of that across the country?
There's absolutely less of it across the country. I think still roughly half of the EVs in the country are in California. So where we see California having some remarkable growth, it's happening in other parts of the country, but it's definitely lagging quite a bit. There are several reasons for this. A big one is the climate here is particularly amenable to electric vehicles. We do not have to worry about deep freezes and some of the notable stories that we saw during this last polar vortex of people being surprised about the impacts that their battery life had during extreme cold weather. The political bent of the average Californian is much more receptive to the environmental message associated with electric vehicles, and the higher income group, of which California has its share, healthy share, is also the demographic that's been leading the EV adoption curve as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that sometimes when we're talking about electric vehicles and hybrids, people tend to come at it from a mindset sort of thing, a choice that you're making. But, you know, economics play a huge part in that. Income plays a huge part in that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and electric vehicles are still more expensive than the alternative. And even when you start making comparisons, you do have, with tax credits, situations where certain classes of vehicles, you can find an EV that is very cost competitive with the conventional vehicle. But when you get into the lower cost, smaller passenger vehicles, there just aren't as many choices in the EV world as there is in the conventional world. So where you might have BMW and Mercedes conventional vehicles competing with Teslas and other types of EVs on a pretty level playing field, you don't have the Toyota Corolla, Honda Civic sort of level of competition, at least yet.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how competitive this gets as time goes on, and especially with the gas-powered ban coming even closer, because I think for a lot of people, it looms large in their minds. So, you know, how prepared is California for this 2035 ban?
I think it's important to consider what's been described as a ban is really a restriction on the sale of new conventional or internal combustion engine vehicles inside California. And so there is still going to be the ability to bring in either used or basically new cars purchased outside of California into California. And so to the extent that we're not ready to have EVs, or there's a substantial part of the population that is still looking for a conventional vehicle, what we'll see is more probably dealership activity on the border of California. And we'll probably also see that conventional vehicles will be held on a lot longer inside the state as well. So just the length of time people own their conventional cars will probably stretch out even longer than the already quite lengthy time we see today.
Well, and I know that there's questions, you know, obviously, as we've talked about now, there's a dedicated interest in electric vehicles and pushing that forward, you know, in the Bay Area, in California. But it can still be difficult to have an EV or to get an EV in your life. We talked a little bit about, you know, what income plays a role in. But, you know, there's infrastructure issues that come up as well. I think recently there's been a hike in PG&E rates, and there's concern that that could affect people who already own electric vehicles, or perhaps change the minds of those who were, you know, perhaps more interested in getting them. On an infrastructure level, what sort of pitfalls might we have to look out for as we get closer to, you know, no longer having new gas-powered vehicles being a part of the equation anymore?
Sure. And as we talked about earlier, where we had this ramp up of growth in EV adoption, and we may be hitting a level where now we have the more difficult populations to reach. And one of those populations are people who do not have a garage or do not live in apartment buildings, may not even have a dedicated parking spot. The vast majority of charging still happens at home. And if you don't have a spot to charge at home, owning an EV is a lot less convenient. We don't quite know exactly how big a deterrent it will be, but it is true that the vast majority of EVs are purchased by people who have a place to charge it. Now, there might be solutions with widespread public charging, and there's a lot of resources and money going towards expanding that, but we don't really know exactly where or how people who don't have access to charging at home really would prefer to do that or would be able to do that on a regular basis. So the apartment dwelling community is a big group that's going to be difficult to reach. Just in terms of people who have long distances to travel, people who are hauling large towing large amounts and those sorts of things. There are some uses that are still where EVs are making inroads, but have currently have some disadvantages that make it difficult for these things to be expanded. The other part of the infrastructure you mentioned was, I don't know if it's infrastructure so much as just cost, but it is true in California. There's been sort of a cycle here where there have been years where it is more expensive in some parts of the state to run a car on electricity than gasoline during periods where gasoline is kind of not as high and electricity prices in some areas have been very high. It is actually cheaper to drive your Toyota Prius Prime on gasoline than on electricity in some parts of the state. And that's a huge barrier to both the adoption of EVs, but also just the use of EVs in the electricity part in a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle as well. And I think it's one that's quite underappreciated.
Well, with all of this being said, how smoothly do you think things are going to go as the state does keep moving forward into a state that's electric vehicle heavy? And if California is able to pull this off when 2035 rolls around, do you think that sets a template for the rest of the country to say, okay, it can be done. Now we need to take steps to make this viable for everybody?
Yeah, I think there's as much or maybe even more risk that California is viewed as a negative example from this transition as a positive one. So if there are newsworthy disruptions or notable protests to what's viewed as a ban of ICE vehicles, I think that could be spun into very unappealing policy for other states to follow. If California does kind of continue on its current trajectory of kind of integrating the EVs, maybe not seamlessly, but without too much disruption, I think that will help. Exactly how much it will help is a good question. There's been a lot of discussion of California's climate policies being motivated by trying to set an example for the rest of the country. But there are, parts of the country that basically want to do exactly the opposite of whatever California is doing as well, for whatever reasons. And I just don't know how persuasive a positive example will be in some parts of the country. Especially there are parts of the country where, pickup trucks, SUVs are predominant. We do have electric versions of these, but, there's been a lot written recently about how they are struggling to find markets still. And as we mentioned, before, in areas where the average commute is longer, rural areas where people drive longer trips and areas that are colder, it's just a harder sell to try to make EVs appealing without at least further technological advancement.
In Depth will return after a moment. Now we turn to Carlene Cullen, founder and executive director of Cool the Earth. She also initiated Ride and Drive Clean, a collaborative campaign to rapidly accelerate the switch to zero emission vehicles. Carlene is based in Marin County. Carlene Cullen, thank you for joining me on this conversation on In Depth.
Happy to be here.
So first off, let's start with your organization, Cool the Earth. Tell me a little bit about what that organization does and how electric vehicles plays into its message statement.
Sure. I started Cool the Earth, a nonprofit organization, about 17 years ago, and our mission is to reduce carbon emissions through personal actions. So we started working in schools with young kids, teaching them about climate change and giving them tools to go home and get their whole family starting to work on energy efficiency and reducing their carbon footprint. And then in 2014, as electric vehicles started to make it on the market, we turned much of our attention towards that, since it's the largest source of carbon emissions in California and in the nation. So we started working on that. And about 5 years ago, we started the Bay Area's largest collaboration called Ride and Drive Clean. We have 150 partner cities and agencies and nonprofits who all work together to promote the use of electric vehicles.
So you've been in this work for quite a long time now, and I imagine you've seen things change both in a tangible way and just in a mindset way when we're talking about the conversation of electric vehicles in the Bay Area.
Yes, absolutely. Both mindset, as you said, and also in practical terms of what's happening with EV adoption. I did want to mention that when Governor Newsom had his gubernatorial campaign, I was his policy advisor for how we electrify transportation in California, specifically focusing on passenger vehicles. And my primary advice was to ban the new sale of gas cars in 2035. So really happy the governor's made that commitment and is backing it up with lots of resources to make sure that we have the grid capacity and the EV charging capacity.
You know, and you mentioned there, you know, obviously 2035, it's going to be here sooner than I think anyone really thinks as time flies. But one of the aspects of conversation here when we are talking about electric vehicles and their prominence is the surrounding infrastructure to set up the support for EVs. And right now, you know, a lot of talk is centered around charging stations and their durability and accessibility, and getting the industry to take that more seriously. That's work that you've been very involved in recently.
Yes. So we, as I mentioned, we've been educating drivers about going electric. And about 3 years ago, there came into our view the issue of a reliable charging experience. And we started working on this with some of the government agencies, California Energy Commission and the California Air Resources Board here in California. And then also at the federal level, as the Biden administration is rolling out its $7.5 billion for charging infrastructure. And along the way, we came across so many unreliable stations that we decided to really start advocating for drivers and making sure that the industry stepped up to make sure their stations are functioning to driver expectations, which is basically first time, every time. You need to be able to plug in, charge, and go on with your trip and not have any issues at all.
Well, in the work that you've done, and obviously you're engaged in a lot of communication with a lot of people on this, you know, why are there issues with charging stations to begin with? Like, what's the cause of this? And I mean, was it just the fact that maybe the manufacturers weren't prepared for the durability that they needed to have? What are the hurdles here?
So there, in the end, there are two primary hurdles. One is that the technology was really new. So, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, there really weren't many charging stations other than Tesla's and their proprietary connections. And so the industry came in, new technology, and many of those stations are going to be replaced now from funds for California, as well as the White House. We're going to see a significant improvement in the charging infrastructure that had been in place and was kind of legacy equipment. And frankly, there wasn't enough attention paid to maintenance. And now the companies are going to need to pay attention. There's new regulations in contracts from the California Energy Commission and California Resources Board are both implementing 97% uptime. And it's something that is live and happening right now is that the California Air Resources Board is in the final stage of oversight with Electrify America, which, Mary, if you remember, that's a settlement from Dieselgate in which VW was compelled to spend about $2 billion nationwide and $800 million in California to install charging stations. And they're working with California Resources Board right now to talk about what the uptime requirements are for new stations as well as existing stations. And as advocates, we want to make sure that new and existing stations both have a 97% uptime requirement.
How confident are you feeling about all of this, getting to that point?
Well, I'm very confident in the new stations. There's in the field, there's lots of reports, and I've experienced it myself that the stations are working really well and that we're going to move forward with a great consumer experience. With the existing stations, I'm waiting to see. We're definitely out there providing a lot of information to agencies and government to really push the point that even existing stations need to be brought up to speed. And they can. It's not rocket science. It's something that needs just more attention paid to maintenance.
I believe that current EV owners and those prospective buyers, knowing that stations work, whether it's older or newer, is going to be of utmost interest to them. Another, I think another aspect of this, and this is something I've had in earlier conversation, is that when we're talking about California and the Bay Area, we know it's prolific for having a lot of electric vehicles on the road, but it does seem that those in a slightly higher income bracket or in certain areas are able to have better accessibility to these vehicles and to what it takes to keep them going. How, from your perspective, how do we shore up these disparities between those who can get the cars and keep them and where it still seems far away?
Yeah, so there's two aspects to that I could address. First of all, for people in our priority communities, there's the first issue of how can I afford this vehicle? And there are state programs. One is called Clean Cars for All, that if you have an older car, I think it's about 17 or 18 years old, you can turn that in and get up to $20,000 towards a new vehicle. So that is making a huge difference. It's a really popular program, and it's run here by the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. So we're really excited about that. And then the second thing is that there needs to be more charging stations. And that's where I think it's a really rosy picture. The state is investing billions of dollars. Tesla is starting to open up their charging stations. PG&E has a new program that will fully fund charging stations at multifamily properties, as well as there's other programs that are installing stations for people who live in multifamily. And there's a really strong emphasis on our low-income and disadvantaged communities. Those are really the folks that we need to put our emphasis and our efforts behind. And this is happening. It's absolutely happening.
Well, what do you think will help to keep pushing EVs forward, not just here in California and obviously with 2035 and the prohibiting of new gas-powered vehicles being sold, but across the country? Because, we were talking a little bit about infrastructure here and about the income side of all this. But, do you feel that there's still a ways to go when it comes to having more people see this as imperative to dealing with the larger climate issues?
Yeah, so in California, we really are on a road that will end up that we can meet our goals. The rest of the nation definitely is following behind and is really not there yet. And part of the new infrastructure funding from the White House is going to really advance that access to the infrastructure. But there are other things that also need to move forward in the industry, including things as basic as permitting for these stations and connecting to the grid. So there are delays there, and those sort of systematic things need to be addressed to help people. But fundamentally, there needs to be more vehicles at a lower price, and the auto manufacturers need to continue to hear that from early adopters. And as we move forward, really working in the middle market to make sure that we continue to have vehicles that are affordable for everybody. One thing I also want to mention is that the used market is growing significantly, and many people now lease their vehicles and have been leasing their vehicles. So there's a very high number of vehicles that are coming in used, and there are federal and oftentimes state incentives to buying used. So there's the vehicles are becoming much more affordable and much more accessible.
Well, it could be said that some of the thoughts and opinions about electric vehicles, you know, that might be dimming somewhat because we have been seeing recently that sales have been ticking down. What are you seeing and hearing in that department?
So with the rates in California and in PG&E territory specifically, the rates are increasing, which makes the cost of driving electric a little bit more expensive. But I want to point out that it's still about 50% of the price that we pay for gasoline. And there's no carbon emissions and there's no air pollution. So still a great economic value. And I think in general that people need to understand that the technology is here, it's advancing. And one of the main issues is really about the EV adoption has really gone through the roof. It's skyrocketed. And now the amount of charging infrastructure needs to catch up. And that's where I'm the most optimistic, is that we have federal funding, we have Tesla opening up, we have the 7 automakers committed to 30,000 stations, and California just hit installing its 100,000th public charging stations. So the infrastructure is there and it's really growing rapidly. And I think that's going to be the major factor that really brings people into the fold, whether they're in apartments or condos or traveling. That's going to make a huge difference. And I think all the prognosticators that are looking that EV sales aren't growing fast enough, they're going to be in for a really big surprise coming in 2025.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In-Depth online at kcbsradio.com. You can hear In-Depth episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. Thanks for listening for KCBS and In-Depth. I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In-Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.